Psalm 119, we're going to begin our reading at verse 57, and we will read down through verse 64. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Amen. We trust the Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his holy word for his name's sake. This evening our text shall be taken from the first verse that we read. Indeed, the first phrase that we read, thou art my portion. We trust the Lord will bless his word as we consider it. Before we go to the word, though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer, and let's all ask him that he might truly meet with us from his word and through his word. Our Father and our God, we come to thee in Jesus' name. Lord, we are thankful that thou art our righteousness, that the righteousness that we have is not that which we have spun for ourselves, but it is indeed the very righteousness of thy dear Son that thou hast clothed us with. We're thankful, O God, that that garment is pure, that that garment is everlasting, that that garment is pleasing in thy sight. Lord, we're thankful that we are thy people. We are thankful, O God, that we are those that thou hast redeemed and now thou hast covenanted to be our God. We're thankful that that means that thou wilt work for us, that thou wilt undertake, that thou wilt be gracious to us, that thou wilt think upon us, that thou wilt indeed make thyself known to us. Lord, we do come to thee as thy people this night. And Lord, we say before thy throne, we are a people that need to meet with their God. We are a people that need to hear the Lord's voice to them again. And so, O God, we place before thee the requests of our hearts that thou wilt come into our presence and that thou wilt speak to us through the power of the Holy Ghost and from thy word. But Lord, we also place before thee the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we sang of that name this night. Lord, we're thankful that that name has power before thy throne. O God, hear us and answer us and bless us. Meet with us, speak to us, and draw us upward unto thyself, we ask, because Christ is worthy to receive the honor and the glory that is due to his name. Lord, we're thankful that we can look now to thee. Do, O God, open our eyes to see thee in thy word. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. This portion of Scripture brings a picture to mind. Indeed, a picture that perhaps was well known to David, the psalmist here. Most commentators would believe that David, as he says these words, might well be recounting in his own mind the scene that he saw often, the scene in which the spoil that was taken from the enemy after a defeat or after a battle or after an invasion, that the spoil would be brought to a central place and then it would be dispersed to those who had fought and to those who had conquered. This scene was familiar to David. But as the spoil is being divided, David, who should get more than the rest, or at least certainly should get his choice from those things that are brought to this place, seemingly in his mind here, as he would recount these kinds of things, is foregoing the spoil as his mind thinks upon his Lord. Here David is saying, Thou art my portion. Thou art the one that art my great reward. And I would say that we have in these words here a model for us. Whenever we are feeling that we are not receiving what is rightly ours, whether by design of ourselves, or even the design of somebody else, how is it that the child of God is to respond? Well, David here sets us a pattern. The Lord is my portion. And I would say that that kind of an hour, that time, that something like that might happen when we feel shortchanged, is just something that serves to be a point, although not the full ramification of what's being said here, but a point of what might be our thinking in the hour of temptation. How we are to respond, how we are to think, what are we supposed to have on our minds when temptation wells up within our hearts, whether it's a temptation to think on the spoil or a temptation in any other way. Tonight I have a very simple proposition to set before you, and that is this. This phrase, Thou art my portion, is a prayer that is meant to be brought before the throne of God by the people of God in the hour of their need. This is an appropriate prayer. We are meant to pray these things. There's three things I want us to notice about this portion of Scripture, this phrase, and what it would mean, and what our hearts might gather from it. And the first thing that struck my mind as I was thinking on this phrase is that we have here a recollection. When David is talking about the Lord being his portion, he is recalling the Lord in his mind. He is thinking upon the Lord and what the Lord has been to him, where he has gone with the Lord, what he has known from the Lord. There is a sense in which he is being reminded of the Lord. I'll say the people of God are a people that are to be remembering that the Lord is the center of our life and our hearts. That's something that we need to be actively remembering. This phrase is a phrase indeed that we are to allow our hearts to ponder much. The Lord is our portion. We are to be remembering the Lord. What are we to recall? What are we to actually be reminded of? Well, first I have to start right off at the bat and say the first thing that we should always be reminded of whenever we would consider the Lord is the fact that there is no relationship, no portion, that is, apart from Jesus Christ. We must always be considering, indeed, when we recall the Lord, that there would be no portion for us had Jesus Christ not bled on Calvary's tree. There would be no inheritance, no place for us before God had Christ not come and in mercy gathered us. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29 says, And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Oh, may we never let our minds forget the fact that Jesus Christ brought to us not only all of God's riches and His bounty. He did do that. All the riches of God are now ours because Jesus Christ purchased them for us by His blood. But that's not what David is saying here, and that's not perhaps the sweetest of them all. What Jesus Christ brought to us was God Himself. The Lord is ours now. The Lord is our portion. He is indeed our inheritance, as what is being said here. He has been brought nigh to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can approach God. We can know God. We can say, Thou art my God. Thou art the lover of my soul. Thou art my captain. Thou art my shepherd. Thou art my haven of rest. Thou art all these things to me. All these are mine. This is my portion. Why? Because Jesus Christ has accomplished them. He has brought us to God. And He has brought God to us. He has, by His blood, and indeed sealed the transaction, sealed the deed with His precious blood. And that deed says, The Lord our God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. God is ours because of Jesus Christ. That's something that we should be reminded of all the time. Thou art my portion should be a phrase that brings us back to Jesus Christ. But having said that, too, I want to make another point, and that is this. Heirlooms and keepsakes have an important function. Sort of sounds like a strange point, doesn't it? Heirlooms and keepsakes have an important function. When it says the Lord is my portion, in other words, the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is that which I received when the inheritance was meted out, when the will, as it were, was read, when the great giving forth of the goods was set forth. The Lord was, as it were, the heirloom that I received. Well, what do heirlooms do? By way of an illustration, let me just say, my family didn't have a whole lot of heirlooms. When I was receiving the heirlooms, I look back at what I received from my grandfathers. I have two things, one from each of my grandfathers. My father's father used to be a cook on the Lehigh Valley Railroad. Maybe some of you have heard of Lehigh Valley. There happens to be a church there. Well, my grandfather rode through that valley every week. He was a cook on the railroad, and he used to keep the pots boiling there in the caboose as they would roll down the tracks. And when they stopped, the work crews get out. My grandfather would be there ringing the triangle. Well, when he retired, they gave him a gold railroad watch. And as it so happened, I was able to receive that as the inheritance from my grandfather. It's the only thing I've got from my grandfather on my father's side. Seemingly, strange enough, when my mother's father died, I also received a pocket watch. And that's the only thing I got from him. So he says, well, you know, that was my heirlooms. And you think, well, there's not a whole lot to those. Well, there is, in a sense. You know, an antique dealer might give me a couple of dollars for each one of them, but that's about all. Neither one of them runs, so I don't know whether that means anything. But what's the worth of those things? Why would I keep them around? They're in a safe deposit box. They mean a lot to me. Why would I keep them around? Well, let me tell you this. Heirlooms have a worth that is quite beyond their worth as antiques. When we consider the heirlooms that we would have when things that, and I'm sure some of you have received things from a grandmother or a grandfather or somebody that you loved. What are these things, what do they do in your life? When you actually pick these things up, when you pick up that pocket watch or whatever it is, what is it that is to do for you? Well, I think the first thing that readily comes to our mind is that these things should bring back memories. Memories of the times that we had with these people. More specifically, it ought to bring back to our minds the heart that these people had for us. They ought to cause our minds and our hearts to think upon who these people were that we associate these things with. An heirloom, that which we would inherit, is meant to cause our minds and hearts to reflect back, to remember the one that had a love for us. But I would also say, heirlooms are great to all of our hearts because they reaffirm to us our place as being a part of the family. That little pocket watch, that gold pocket watch with a picture of a train on the back, affirms in my mind, for better or for worse, that I'm a fine out. That I look at that and I am a part of that family. I hold this heirloom in my hand. It is mine. I have received it by inheritance. This is my place. Or, quite literally, if you want to take it for what it says in the Hebrew, this is my portion. But I say, when we consider that the Lord is our portion, we should be doing the same thing with the heirlooms of God. Well, you might say, well, what's that? Well, we have a few of them mentioned for us here in this portion that we read tonight. We talk about the heirlooms of God that come to each one of us. If you look at verse 57, it says, I have said that I would keep thy words. The words of God. This word that we hold in our hands ought to remind us often of the love of our God for us, that He gives us His message of redemption, that He tells us of the way of salvation, that He shows to us the glories of His Son. We ought to remember the heart of our God that's involved in the very fact that He would give us His Word. got to remember the times that we had with Him in His Word. It is right for the people of God to remember that the Lord is their portion. The Lord is their inheritance, as it were, that they might remember those things that the Lord has done for them through His Word. You might go on to verse 58, and you have mentioned there, well, verse 57 first. Excuse me, 58, that's right. The favor of the Lord, or the grace of the Lord. That too is something that the Lord gives to His people. It is, as it were, an heirloom of God. That which you and I have inherited because it was given to us as the sons of God. We repeated that tonight, didn't we, about the adoption being we have all the privileges of the sons of God. Proud of the privileges is that we receive that which is in our family. God gives us grace. You go on to verse 58, it also talks about the mercy of the Lord. Verse 62 talks about the judgment of the Lord. I might also suggest to you or give thoughts to you, what about the goodness of the Lord? What about the long-suffering of the Lord? What about eternal life? As we hold these things and as we think upon these things, as we think about God's mercy to us, as we think about God's eternal life that He gives us, they should be indeed, as it were, reminders to our very heart of the love of God that has purchased us and brought us to Himself. Oh, may we be a people that are careful to remember the Lord our God and all those things that He has given to us by His goodness and His grace. I think in many ways David here, as he makes that statement, "Thou art my portion," David is recalling. David is thinking upon all the things that the Lord has given him, and he's sizing them up against all that perhaps he'd ever seen brought and loaded on the pile of the spoil, and he's concluding, "The only thing that matters for me, the only thing that really I find of worth, is the Lord. The Lord is my portion. He is that which I inherit." It is a remembrance. But I say, secondly, that it is an exclamation. When David says, "Thou art my portion," I would think that we would be better served. In fact, let me tell you this. In the original, for some reason, our translators divided the statement here and put a colon there. Really, the thought is, "Thou art my portion, O Lord!" Exclamation point. End of statement. End of thought. It is an exclamation. "Thou art my portion." David exclaims this to the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that David spoke these words under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Lord desires that this truth be on the lips of His people when they come up before the throne. It is desirous that we come, of the Lord, that we come before Him and put our hearts out before the Lord. "Thou art my portion, O Lord." The Lord wants us to do that. Well, the question that is begged from that statement is why? Why would the Lord want His people to come before His throne and own Him in such a way, or to exclaim before the Lord that "Thou art my portion"? Well, first, let me just say this. The heart and the soul are strengthened. The heart and the soul are strengthened when Christ is owned afresh. When Christ is brought to our hearts again, and we exclaim before the throne of God, "Thou art mine, O Christ," I say that that will, even those words before God's throne, will strengthen your heart and strengthen your soul. Well, we would have to ask, is there something then particularly in these words that caused that to happen? Well, no. It's not just the words themselves, really. But James, in commenting on this kind of a thought, says in James 4 and 7, "Submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." I would simply say that there is much to be gained by the soul of the believer when he owns Christ. Now, I can't explain to you the full reason why. But I just say here we have scriptural evidence that that is true. James just plainly says, if you draw nigh to God, if you with your heart seek after the Lord your God and exclaim even as David is here, he doesn't use these words, but the sentiment is the same. If you will draw nigh to God with your heart, the Lord will draw nigh to you, and there shall be an effect. What's the effect? He will lift up your soul. He will lift you up. Now, I can't explain everything that goes into that. The Lord, in the work of His Holy Spirit, is unknowable in some ways, in many ways. But it's no less true. And I would simply encourage you, it's a very simple thought I'm giving to you here, a very simple truth, and I hope you'll take it. If even this night you desire that your soul would be strengthened, that your heart would be given grace, and that you would know the strengthening of the Lord, I simply come to you and submit to you this thought. Come to the Lord and own Him again. Let your own heart turn to Christ. And by faith, say before the throne of God, Thou art my portion. I suggest to you that there is a strengthening there. James includes the idea of humbling yourself in the sight of God. You know, humbling, we have a misperception about what humbling really is. Humbling is not simply causing sorrow to come to your heart. It's not just casting yourself in the dust and rolling around moaning and groaning. That is not being humbled. Humbling is honesty. It is when you come before the Lord and with an honest heart you present yourself to God. And you know, sometimes the honest heart is a heart that shows joy. You know, there is a sense in which a joyous affirming of who the Lord is to your heart is a humbling. The Lord says, if you come and you will affirm me again in your heart, and you will affirm before the courts of heaven that I am yours and you are mine, there will be strengthening. There will be a lifting up. There's a second reason why I say there's this exclamation that the Lord would seek to accomplish in the hearts of His believers. Not only do you find that there's a strengthening, but I say that this statement is a help in temptation. You want to know what to do when the devil tempts you? You want to know what to do when your heart is overcome or your flesh rises up? You want to know what to do? Try just saying, the Lord is my portion. You say, oh, Mark, that's an oddball idea. Well, okay. Then you don't argue with me. You argue with Martin Luther. You argue with Thomas Brooks. Let me just read you something that Thomas Brooks said. He's the man that wrote that. He's a Puritan that wrote that famous book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. If you don't have that book, you need to have the book. Even if you were to read through it paragraph by paragraph. Each time he brings out an assault by the devil, and he brings out the precious remedy for it. His comment was, answer every temptation with the words, the Lord is my portion. When Satan comes with the loveliest of apples, exclaim, the Lord is my portion. You know, that's a tremendous bit of wisdom. When we are in a place when our flesh wells up, when we are in a place of temptation, and I would say no matter what sort of temptation, whether it's a temptation by evil, whether it's a temptation of our own flesh, whether it's a temptation to sin in some way, or whether it's just the temptation of coveting what we feel would make us full, if we will exclaim, no, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my portion, the Lord is my portion, you'd be surprised how much more able your soul is to go through those times as you have your eyes on Him who is your Lord. It's a statement of help. I'm not saying this is an abracadabra. This is not superstition. I'm not giving you some mantra that you just repeat whenever you feel you're tempted. That's not what I'm doing. But I am telling you there is a power in the Word of God. And reaffirming to your heart, Jesus Christ is my portion. you will find yourself strengthened. Here also I say, not only do we have a remembrance, and not only do we have an exclamation, but the last thing I want us to point to is that we have here an expectation. When David says to the Lord, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," there's something that David was expecting. Now, I know that we might say, well, you know, the only reason really that David says these words is because he's worshiping the Lord. Well, that's true. But let me give you a true, is such a word as a truism? Yes. Something that's true. Whenever a man is truly worshiping, he will find that his true worship is always attended by grace. You cannot worship truly unless you worship in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost's ministry to your heart to enable you to worship truly will be a ministry of grace. Grace always attends true worship. David was expecting, you know, if I am truly rendering back to the Lord by this exclamation, my worship to God, then there is a sense in which I might expect then God will turn and be gracious unto me. David was expecting something to greet his soul with this affirmation. There was something he said, I'm looking for something for my soul by this very thing. You say, well, what's that? Well, three quick things. First, refreshment. Refreshment. I think David, in a manner of speaking, is expecting that God would refresh his soul as he came and owned his God again. And I just simply will say this. Why don't we try this tonight? Now, I'll say this. One thing I know about myself and everybody in this room, we need to be refreshed. Is there anybody here that says, I don't need to be refreshed? Don't you spiritually need to be refreshed? Well, let me just ask you this then. Why don't you just try, in our prayer time tonight, turning to the Lord with your heart and exclaiming before the Lord, Thou art my portion, and see if the Lord doesn't do something to refresh your soul. I'm not saying that you're going to be feeling the fullness of the power of the Lord descending upon you to the place where you're going to pull down the walls of Jericho. That may not happen, but I say this. You'll start finding your heart enjoying the Lord. Would you just try that this night? As we are in this prayer time, you just go to the Lord and you say this to the Lord with your heart and see what the Lord will do for you. I think David was expecting refreshment. Secondly, I think he was expecting a sense of relief. You know, you and I oftentimes wrestle so much in our own minds and hearts to get the Lord to before us. Do we not? Do we not try to, whether it's adjusting our life or our thinking or whatever, I am trying to get the Lord to before me. That's true. But when we consider that all the while you and I are trying to do that, God has already given himself to me. Oh, what a relief it is from the bondage and from the toil and from the wrestling, from the frustration of spirit. What a relief it is just to know, O Lord, Thou hast given Thyself to me. Thou art my portion. Thou art my inheritance. Thou art Thou art Him. Thou art Him who belongs to me. Will it relieve your soul any to know that tonight, believer? Is there any relief at all for your mind and for your heart to consider that Jesus Christ is yours? Is it an alleviation of your fears in any sense? Does it alleviate your guilt any? Does it alleviate your sense of deadness or just plain tiredness? Or does it do anything for your soul at all to consider that Jesus Christ is yours? Now, let me say this. If you're awake here tonight, I'm not going to start looking around the room too hard here, but if you are awake, I do say this. I would be suspecting that there would be a sense of relief for your tiredness of spirit, for your confusion of thinking even, just for your heart to consider the truth again. Jesus Christ is my portion. There is relief. But then I would have to say, in the last point, I've got one more R here. There's a sense of reviving. Now, I can't say revival. But I will say this. If you will come tonight, every one of us, I can say this categorically. If every one of us this night will come before the throne of God and own our Savior again, we may not fall into revival right away, but I can certainly say we're on our way. That's the first step. Seeking the face of God, owning Jesus Christ with all that is within us. Thou art my portion. I say that is the first step on the road to revival. I would encourage every one of us. Now, I'm not saying you have to pray out loud this tonight, but I would challenge you. Will you pray these words to Christ? Will you own them again? Will you affirm in your own heart, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is... Let all the world get all the rest that there can be gotten. I will be satisfied Christ. Will you let your heart go that direction this night? I pray that the Holy Ghost will direct each one of us that way. I pray that He'll give us the burden to pray that way. I pray that He'll give us the wit to pray that way, because it'll only do us good. It'll only do us good. Thou art my portion, O Lord. May God be merciful to us in sealing His word to our heart and encouraging us to seek His face. For His name's sake, amen.